This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Duke Energy adopted new billing software in 2022, and the software has made more than 100,000 mistakes since then. What impact have those errors had on consumers, and how is the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio responding? Joining me now to talk about all of that and more are Dan Law attorney, Mark Dan. Thanks for being here, Mark. And WCPO9 I-Team reporter, Dan Monk. Welcome back, Dan.
Good to be here.
Duke Energy declined an invitation to participate in this discussion, but the company did send a statement that we will talk about in just a little bit. Dan, these problems started with the new billing system that Duke Energy adopted in 2022. Why did Duke say it needed a new billing system?
They were trying to merge, I think, four different legacy systems in the various companies they've acquired over the years. But they were also trying to make a better use of those smart meters that they've been installing for the last decade or so. And what they wanted to be able to do was share data with people who are participating in energy choice. They wanted to make it possible for somebody who has a solar panel to, you know, sell energy back to the web, all kinds of things you can do with smart meters, and their systems weren't enabling the use. And so I think that was a big driver for Customer Connect.
And do I understand correctly that the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio gave the okay for Duke's customers to pay for that new system? Is that how that works?
Right. They did get it was deemed, an infrastructure investment. And so Duke was allowed to charge customers for the investments that they made in this new billing system.
Okay, and you reported that PUCO has identified more than 100,000 problems since that new software was adopted.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big number. What kind of problems are we talking about?
I'll give you a line-by-line list. It's okay. 52,000 problems involved stating a number that's the price to compare. So on your bill, you're supposed to get a number that allows you to shop for a better price. And so 52,000 out of the, I think it was 129,000 total mistakes were for that. Another 39,000 customers were charged the wrong amount for riders, which are fees that utilities can charge for things like infrastructure investments. 5,600 customers got lost in the Duke system. They weren't billed at all, and that's a problem because once the mistake is caught, then you have to back pay what you didn't pay previously. Another 5,600 got inaccurate credit amounts on their percentage of income payment plan. That is a program where low-income households can just pay a percentage, 10% with the combined gas and electric rate, 10% of their household income is used to pay the bill, and then they're credited for the rest. And what was happening was people were getting credits, and they were being told they didn't have a bill for that month, so they didn't pay anything, and that caused all kinds of other problems in the program, which the Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati ultimately resolved by intervening on their behalf at the PUCO. And then another 4,200 customers had pricing mistakes on their bills. And then most recently, just a month or so ago, Duke admitted another 23,000 mistakes that involved gas bills. And I couldn't summarize that for you. That was kind of complicated. So that whole explanation is in the story.
Yeah, there you go. Check it out on WCPO.com. Look under the I-Team tab. It's all in there.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm here. I'm your friend. Mark, you represent some clients who really felt the impact of these problems. Tell us about some of these people and what they experienced.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's some of it had to do with money. Some of it had to do with a kind of a situation that Dan's. By the way, congratulations to Dan on a great investigative piece that's really hopefully going to raise people's awareness about some of the deficiencies of the way that the PUCO is regulating utilities in the state. And it's an important issue that needs to be carefully considered, but. One of our clients the computer mixed up her name with somebody who had the same name in Florida with a different legacy system that Duke, one of those legacy systems that, that Dan was talking about them, you know, combining together into one system. And as a result, the bills were not, client wasn't sent bills, or the other, the other Michelle Bruce was sent bills that, that belonged to Miss, to our Michelle Bruce here in Cincinnati. And, at the end of the day, she ended up with her power shut off. She ended up losing, you know, groceries that were, you know, because of the power shut off, and, continues to have a just went through an odyssey, trying to get that power restored, trying to get this discrepancy corrected, you know, and sometimes I think some of this new AI driven software can be too smart. And in this case, it thought it was, you know, doing everybody a favor by combining the files of the two Michelle Bruces. And well, what it ended up doing is putting two of Duke's customers and, you know, in a real pickle, that took, you know, hours and hours of time to unwind. It cost, you know, hundreds of dollars. Our client was out of pocket hundreds of dollars at a very bad time in her life when she had just lost one of her two jobs, and was, you know, struggling to make her, her mortgage payments. And all of a sudden, you know, additional money was pulled from her account, that wasn't, that she never authorized to pay somebody else's bill. We've had other clients who we've been talking to, and we're looking at it. You know, we've brought one class action case, and we may bring may expand that to others. But there are other folks who were just charged outrageous amounts of money based on this estimating protocol, and weren't provided as the PUCO required with the actual usage, so that they can, you know, keep better track of their bills and do a better job of managing their electrical use. And so those kinds of problems exist too, and we're just starting to unwind those. But we've got other folks that we're still talking to after Dan's series ran, because this is a serious issue, and there ought to be, you know, Duke Energy ought to make it right with the people that have been not just inconvenienced, but you know, whose money they've taken by mistake in these circumstances.
I want to note again that we did invite Duke Energy to be part of this conversation. The company declined the invitation, but did send a statement. The statement reads in part, "Some Duke Energy customers have experienced issues with their bills, and we apologize for this experience. Utility rates are complicated, but our goal is to provide timely and accurate bills to our customers. As a recent story with WCPO indicated, most of the system issues that were identified by the reporter have been resolved. Of those, about half of the issues were unrelated to the customer billing amounts, but rather involved a bill messaging omission, which has been addressed." There's a lot more to the statement. We have the full statement on our website, wvxu.org. We also have a phone number that people can call with questions or concerns. Again, we're talking about Duke Energy billing errors that affected many customers. Are you one of them? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Dan, did you find that most of these problems have been resolved? Is that reflected in the records from the PUCO?
Well, no. Actually, the PUCO recently increased a proposed fine for Duke Energy because they encountered more mistakes than they previously thought. Those 23,000 gas mistakes were one example. And we keep getting calls from Duke Energy customers who say they're something's wrong with their bill. And so, I mean, they may have made some repairs to the system. The PIP program, the low income program, comes to mind because I talked to the Legal Aid Society about their intervention. And in November 2022, the PUCO approved a waiver that allowed Duke Energy to fix the credits that were incorrect on those bills. And Phil Rich from Legal Aid told me that that people are still confused about the fixed, but they haven't had recent complaints about billing inaccuracies, and so he thinks the approach seemed to work. So that is one fix that Duke Energy made that appears to be working. But You know, I talked to a guy in Anderson Township who has no idea where his billing usage number comes from. This is not the amount that he's paying per kilowatt hour. It's the actual estimate of kilowatt hours. And it turns out that Duke measures this without actually tracking the meter reading at the beginning and end of every month. They get a message from the smart meter, which gives them an estimate of usage over a 15-minute period. And then they do that every 15 minutes for an entire month, 2,900 readings. They add them all up, and that's your usage. But there's no way for consumers to know whether that usage estimate is accurate. And so the PUCO recently required Duke Energy to put those beginning and end monthly meter reads on your bill, and that's supposed to start in October. But yeah, who knows whether the bills are accurate, the usage are accurate or not. That's not really addressed in the filings. Duke Energy wouldn't talk to me.
Mark, the PUCO. Well, these
PUCO enforcement actions. I mean, I used to, as Attorney General, I was frustrated. I represented the PUCO, and the lawyers. After I convinced the lawyers who were representing them that they didn't work for the PUCO, they actually worked for the Attorney General's office. I've learned that their processes go glacially slowly. And there's multiple appeal layers that are available, and it's very cumbersome for individual consumers to be able to access assistance from the PUCO. And in the enforcement actions, you know, there are so many ways that they can be appealed and negotiated. You know, all outside of the transparent world in which most government entities operate. And I think that we need to really look at reforming those. I mean, and just to add to what Dan said, I've spoken to half a dozen people in the last few days that have money that have been overcharged that they want back, and they haven't gotten it back from Duke. And paying a penalty to the PUCO isn't going to put money back in those consumers' pockets.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Dale. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, I had a Duke Energy bill, actually more than one, that was super high, and they were during time periods when I wasn't even home. When I'm home, I use the oven and the lights and everything in the house, and the bill was less than when it was when I wasn't here. And I had them come out and check my meter. They said, oh, there's nothing wrong with your meter. That's just how much you owe.
Well, that's confusing. That's confusing. Thanks for that call, Dale.
Not either, because they said, my gosh, you weren't even here. That wasn't great. That shouldn't be anything like that. And I thought, well, maybe somebody has an extension cord over to my house using it while I'm gone.
Wow. Thanks for that call, Dale. Dan, is that something you've heard from other people too?
It is. Yeah. We get emails. Well, I should say John Matarese gets
there
emails.
John Matarese gets all the complaints.
Yeah, he's the front door for all consumer problems, basically, for our station. And he gets regular reports from people who say their energy bill is out of whack. One thing that the PUCO is in the process of doing that could help this the situation of whether the meter is actually reading correctly. They're going to require that Duke hire a third-party auditor to review all the bills that people have complained about. So if you've complained to Duke, if you've complained to the PUCO, that should be reviewed under this latest proposal. And it's been approved by an administrative law judge, but it hasn't been finally approved by the PUCO. That'll come later this year, and there is a chance for, you know, consumer groups to sort of intervene and either say that $1.45 million fine isn't high enough, or maybe Duke shouldn't pay for the third-party auditor and shouldn't hire that auditor. So it's possible that could be revised under the PUCO proceedings that follow the next couple of weeks.
So it sounds like for somebody like Dale, it's important to make sure his complaint is logged with Duke and also logged with the PUCO?
Yeah, that is what we've advised consumers to do. And I'm going to find a number for the PUCO so I can get it, so I can reveal it here. But I Yeah, I don't want to just do it from memory.
Yeah, don't. That's okay. Dale, I'm gonna let you go. Thanks for that call, but stay tuned because Dan's gonna find that number and he
it
will.
Is.
Okay, here we
All
go.
1-800-686-7826. It's 1-800-686-PUCO.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Mark, Dan just mentioned that the PUCO has proposed this $1.45 million fine against Duke Energy. I know a lot of people don't think that's enough. And if that fine does go through, would customers see any of that? I mean, what happens to that money? Does that help make any customers or clients like yours whole if they've lost money?
No. There's an individual hearing process that consumers can go through, but it's very cumbersome with the PUCO, and there's no provision for shifting attorney's fees, it doesn't make sense over $1,000 or $500 dispute over a bill to hire a lawyer to advocate in the PUCO. This whole system is really designed, I think, to be to favor utilities over consumers and make it difficult for consumers to assert themselves. And I think that, you know, there needs to be some political reform around that as well. I think that, years ago, there was a proposal to actually elect members of the PUCO. I think everybody's aware that Sam Randazzo, who was Governor DeWine appointed as the PUCO chairman just a few years ago, was indicted, resigned, and then was indicted for bribery by First Energy, which is another utility in Ohio that's treats their customers very unfairly, and took a multi-million-dollar bribe. Unfortunately, sadly, he committed suicide before his trial was set to go forward. But the First Energy executives who bribed him are awaiting trial in Akron, and so those cases are being pursued. But the PUCO has historically been, and the PUCO commissioners have been very industry friendly, into people who come from the industry, as opposed to people who have a consumer protection background. And I think that needs to change.
Mark, you mentioned that you're pursuing legal action against Duke. Can you just briefly explain, what that action entails?
Well, sure. I mean, for example, the one complaint is filed, so it's a matter of public record. The Duke Energy pulled money out of Michelle Bruce's account without her permission. There's a federal law called the Electronic Funds Transfer Act that prohibits anybody from using an ACH to pull money out of somebody's bank account without their consent. That's got statutory penalties of $1,000. So you're entitled to get your money back and your attorney's fees paid, and we're going to argue that she's entitled to the time and aggravation she's had. And it's not just that. I mean, it's a breach of contract. There's a number of different legal remedies that are potentially available to people who have been impacted by this computer. At this point, it's beyond a computer error. It's been lingering for months and months and months, and Dan knows this better than anybody. And it hasn't been fixed, and I'm not sure it's been fixed yet. That's not okay to do business that way at the expense of your customers. I haven't heard any indication that that anybody was underbilled as a result of this system, which makes you wonder, just how intentional this might have been.
Dan, you mentioned that some of the solutions that the PUCO has proposed, this third-party auditor, including meter readings on the bills. Is there anything else in terms of solutions that you've heard that either, outside experts have proposed or that Duke has said they're going to implement? I mean, what else is out there to help people?
Well, Mark's solution is one, turning to, the court system as opposed to the PUCO. And I'm kind of curious, Mark, if I can ask you a question, how do you get around the idea that the PUCO is where this stuff is litigated usually, right? If a consumer has a problem, they turn to the PUCO. Yeah. How do you get around that with a court case?
Well, there's some preemption issues that we have to work through, but certainly violation of federal consumer statutes are not preempted by the by the PUCO.
Yeah, but you're suing in county court, so wouldn't you have to file a federal suit to do that?
Not necessarily. It's potentially because when we raise federal claims, the case could be removed to federal court. They have both courts have jurisdiction over certain federal consumer protection claims.
Oh, okay.
So that's one way to look at it. And we're looking at other approaches. Some of the folks who have contacted us have you know taken their process, gone through the process of the PUCO, and they haven't been satisfied with the outcome.
I also know that the Ohio Consumers Council is watching these cases pretty closely, and they're intervening on various issues like the meter reading issue. Duke Energy didn't want to do that, and Ohio Consumers Council made some filings that I think maybe won the day there and forcing Duke to reveal those meter readings.
Yeah. Well, Dan, we will continue to follow your reporting to see what happens with this fine and what's next with this hold case. I've been talking with Dan Law attorney Mark Dan and WCPO9 iTeam reporter Dan Monk. Thank you both so much for your time today talking about this important issue. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.